Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is the 615th day of war. This morning, you're to hear from our staff reporters in Rome and London. First, the news in Italy. Go ahead, Rome.
Here in D.C., this is David Anderson speaking from Rome. Rome newspapers are still headlining the combined Italian and German aerial attack on a British convoy, which took place Thursday near the small island of La Galletta in the western Mediterranean. The numerous articles telling of the attack begin very much with the same tone as that expressed by Popolo di Roma this morning. And I quote, "The indefatigable work of our Navy and Air Force is in cooperation with the German Air Force is making British navigation in the Mediterranean more difficult," unquote. The large British convoy left Gibraltar, it is said here, bound for Alexandria. This demonstrates, continues Popolo di Roma, the urgent necessity of the English to refurnish and reinforce their expeditionary corps in North Africa in view of a decisive battle. It further demonstrates, writes the paper, the impossibility of the English to navigate in the waters of the Mediterranean without sustaining considerable losses in men and materials. The convoy was sighted by an Italian scouting plane shortly after noon Thursday, according to the reports reaching Rome. A Marconigram was sent immediately from the plane back to the nearest airport. Despite unfavorable weather conditions, five Italian bombers, escorted by fighting planes, took off, and in the early hours of the afternoon, they began their first attack. Their work was made more difficult, reports state, because of the low-hanging clouds and high wind. But when they come to within the region indicated by the scouting planes, these Italian bombers ducked below the clouds, and the attack began. The convoy, according to Rome reports, consisted of many merchant ships, escorted by two battleships of 30,000 tons each, one aircraft carrier, several cruisers and destroyers. The effects of this first attack by the five original bombers which left the Italian airport was said to be two bomb hits from the side of the aircraft carrier and one on a battleship. Following this first attack, other Italian air squadrons joined in the fighting, and later on, units of the German Air Force. Italian reporters stationed at these airports said that during the heat of the battle, the whole convoy gave the appearance of a burning inferno. But despite the dense smoke and fire, the attackers continued to bomb. The Italian High Command this afternoon reports another aerial attack on British ships. It is said that units of the German Air Force attacked British ships in the region south of Malta. One submarine, it was said, was sunk, and a torpedo boat was damaged. The communique also announces the Italian occupation of other islands in the Cyclades group in the Aegean Sea. These islands include Andro, Tino, and Termia. In Northern Africa, says the report, detachments of Italo-German armored units carried out a successful action on the Solum front. Around Tobruk, artillery activity is reported. In East Africa, the communique says that the Italian forces are putting up a stiff resistance in the face of increased enemy pressure. On the night of the 8th, an attack by Indian detachments was repulsed in the Alagi sector. One Gloucester plane was shot down at Alagi. British action on Italian positions was summed up in these words. The enemy carried out an aerial attack on Derna. In a press conference this morning, it was stated that the former British minister to Belgrade, Mr. Campbell, is now at a Rome hotel. It was said that plans are being worked out for his early departure for Lisbon, from where he will return to England. By order of the War Department, final examinations in various universities were to take place on the 15th of May instead of the 15th of June. This was necessitated because many of the students were scheduled to be called up for military service on the 1st of June. But the students felt differently about it, feeling they needed the extra month for study. A notice appearing in this morning's papers indicates that there may be an amicable solution to the problem. The War Office has just issued an order stating that the students will not have to report for military service before July 1st. Popolo di Roma comments generally on the situation in America today. "The dark clouds of war which is springing from the White House is spreading throughout the nation," writes the paper, "and the voices of the isolationists are being drowned out by the can-can of Washington." The paper asserts that the American people are being stunned, confused, and worked by the American press and radio in cooperation with the president to conclude the third act of the grotesque comedy, which is but a prelude to the tragedy.
The paper accuses the president of beginning his administration by speaking of peace, and little by little he has brought the people around to his world. Now, says Popolo di Roma, the American people are virtually prisoners of the Jews and representatives of high finance. This is David Anderson, returning you now to NBC in New York.
This is New York. We have news from the Associated Press from Madrid. Men close to Generalissimo Francisco Franco held posts in the Spanish Ministry of the Interior today in the wake of a shakeup in which a number of officials appointed by Foreign Minister Ramón Serrano Suñer were ousted. And now from Italy and the Mediterranean, the report we've just heard, we turn our attention next to the news in England. Go ahead, London.
This is London. Ed Doyle speaking. Comment on the battle of the waves in this morning's papers is sparse because the figures on April shipping losses were announced too late for more than mention in the majority of morning papers. The Daily Mail, in a long editorial entitled Storm in America, hopes that the April figures may in part rectify a blunder which has sown doubts in the United States. But, the paper continues, the hasty issue of the figures will not fully satisfy the question of our losses in the Battle of the Atlantic, as raised by Senator Vandenberg and Admiral Land. The denial, or semi-denial, that Admiral Land's figures were incorrect was obviously unsatisfactory. The American people are entitled to know facts, not opinions. No one, the paper says, wants to pass on news of real value to the Germans, but it becomes clear that the Admiralty in the future will have to give more explicit information whether they like it or not. The paper then attacks the past stupidity and obstructionism of the service department and demands a drastic overhaul of all the British information services. The people, both at home and abroad, it says, ought to know more in order to understand more. They need enlightenment, but they get pep talks. We don't want an anti-rumor campaign. We want a pro-fact campaign. Lethargy and apathy must be broken down by the forces of enlightenment and continuous explanation. A comparison of the March shipping losses with those of last month, as published in the Daily Telegraph, leads to some interesting deductions. They are not 100% conclusive because of the lack of detail. 60 British ships and 3 neutral ships were lost during each of those 2 months, but only 22 Allied ships were lost in March, as against 43 in April. These Allied losses were 121,279 tons greater in April than in March, and it can safely be assumed that the largest portion of this increased loss was suffered in the Eastern Mediterranean due to the evacuation from Greece. The British tonnage losses in April were 64,365 tons greater than in March, and these too may be assumed to have been lost in the Mediterranean. Added together, these Mediterranean losses, therefore, amount to about 185,600 tons. Since, however, the grand total of losses in April was 180,803 tons more than in March, it may be assumed that the actual Atlantic losses were lower in April over March by the difference between these two totals. In other words, by about 5,200 tons. It is not a big drop when it is considered that the Germans removed a fair proportion of their air fleet designed to attack shipping from the Atlantic bases in France to Sicily and the Balkans. Since the Germans were pretty positive that the British forces would be thrown out of Greece, it may even be assumed that they started withdrawing Atlantic planes before April. Since I put down my pencil and paper figuring out the above totals, the Admiralty announced that shipping losses in the Mediterranean in April were 187,054 tons. This means that 301,070 tons were sunk elsewhere, mostly in the Atlantic, and that Lee's losses were about 6,000 tons below the March figures. Today is the first anniversary of the German invasion of the Low Countries and the West. All these countries are marking the day with befitting ceremonies. Mr. Churchill sent stirring messages denouncing the barbarous aggression to Prime Minister Gerbrandy of Holland, to Prime Minister Pierre Loh of Belgium, and to the Luxembourg Minister of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Beck. Mr. Churchill at the same time expressed the gratitude of the British government and people for the effective help which these nations have been giving the Allied cause on land, sea, and air. British sympathy and admiration, he said, go out to all these people for the heroic resistance they displayed against the invader and for the heroic manner in which they are continuing the struggle. The bombing pace set by Marshal Goering's Air Force against Britain in the past 3 days was not maintained last night. Activity was on a much reduced scale, the Air Ministry announced. Bombs were dropped in widely separated areas, but there was only a short concentrated attack on a northwest town. RAF fighters shot down 3 bombers and in turn raided the towns of Berlin, Mannheim, and Ludwigshafen. I return you now to the National Broadcasting Company in New York.
And that's the latest from Italy and England on the war. Now let's hear from Earl Godwin in our newsroom in Washington.
Good morning, folks. If you heard the London broadcast, you will see that a great many people in London, in England, are protesting against what is, I think, and see, they think, British military or official stupidity in trying to hide the number of American ships that have been lost in this transatlantic lend-lease business. As I have predicted, April showed England's peak loss in shipping, 106 ships having been sunk by their count. But the question that our Congress and our people ask has not yet been answered, and it is, how many American ships carrying goods to Britain have been sunk? Because our problem right now is convoys or naval aid or not. Still the only answer that we have is that of Admiral Land of the Maritime Commission, who said 8 ships, plus possibly more. Immediately, Land's reply and information was subjected to unending attack and criticism here. But remember, Admiral Land is not a diplomat or a propagandist. He is in the freight shipping business. His job as chairman of the Maritime Commission has been to get the cargoes to Britain. And when he was asked by a senator, he sat down to make as good a showing as he could out of the material he had. Well, now, British airmen have been speeded up, and they've bettered their aerial warfare. And here in Washington, there's a feeling that all that's because of this American aid. There have been more planes and better planes. American ingenuity and output in faster, much faster, harder-hitting planes. More and bigger bombers which can be flown across the Atlantic and which have arrived there this fine spring weather. Faster airplanes for pursuit and attack than have ever left the ground before in all history. The British claim to have shot down 3 more German bombers during widespread raid over England, and this means that 124 warplanes have been shot down in the first 10 days of May, and 91 of them were night raiders, and I use that bit of English news, war news, to bolster the statement that I made that Washington believes that American planes are having their effect. Well, to get back to the ship business, it may be that Admiral Land was right, and only 8 ships carrying American goods to Britain have been sunk, plus the X quantity, the more that have not been reported. But nonetheless, there seems to be a groundswell in the administration for total naval aid to Britain for cargo deliveries and anything else needed. For that reason, Washington believes the president may take some facts and figures on the ship business to Congress, because Congress is in the dark. They don't know from these 106 ships whether they were sunk in the Mediterranean or the Irish coast or where, whether they were transporting English ships or our own ships. The president may have to show the necessity of the vast armored armada that the two secretaries, Stimson and Knox, aver are necessary. And as these things creep toward an ominous showdown, Selective Service Headquarters advise that there will be greater liberality respecting married men for the next draft, the next selection. Too many married men have been drawn so far, and the date for the next registration may be June 14, which is Flag Day, but that is not official. It has been suggested, and that's all from Washington at this time.
Tomorrow, Sunday, this regular morning roundup of war news will be heard over most of these stations at 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. This is the National Broadcasting Company.